Hi, this is Christian McBride, and you're listening to WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
Coming up next is Ecologic at 6 a.m. right here on WBAI New York and 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
You want to taste freedom, peace in this life? I believe we can make it whole again. I believe we can make it whole.
The cave paradise. A parking lot with a pink hotel, a boutique, and a swinging hot spot. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? It'd be paradise, put up a parking lot. We could do, there's so much we could know if we listen to the earth.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. And this is Ecologic at 6 a.m. for February 11th, 2023. We'll be on for 2 hours this week.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
Today, in our first hour, we're talking about a local solar grid, a solar radio station, and self-governance with Arturo Masson of Cata Pueblo in Puerto Rico. What you're hearing now is pre-recorded, but we'll go live at about 6:20, and we'll be taking your calls for Arturo Masson and Angel Roman.
Olivia Rosane wrote an article on EcoWatch.com, and Tom Wall wrote an article in the UK Guardian about four Greenpeace activists from four different countries occupying a 52,000-ton Shell oil platform that was bound for the North Sea oil fields. They are waving a flag with the message, "Stop drilling, start paying." Their message is one familiar to Ecologic listeners. Fossil fuels like gas and oil are contributing to the climate crisis, and the companies doing the extraction don't pay 1 cent for the damage they do. Shell's press release in response to Greenpeace's occupation showed a total unwillingness to acknowledge any criticism of or responsibility for fossil fuel.
Let's take our first musical break.
I met Laura Warfield at a memorial concert for Ray Corona, and she wanted Ecologic listeners to hear the song she wrote with Donna Moody, "Cherish Me."
Take me for granted. I am the sea and the earth where it's planted.
was Cherish Me by Laura Warfield, written by her and Donna Moody.
Renewable energy can be the first source of electricity, with fossil fuels making up anything else needed. Right now, it's the other way around. An analysis published by Energy Innovation, EI, just last month, shows that wind and solar energy are unequivocally cheaper than coal-fired generation across the United States. Michelle Lee, chairman of the Council on Intelligent Energy and Conservation Policy, wrote an excellent summary of that analysis, which we'll read to you now.
The cost of operating existing coal power plants in America is rising while coal generation and jobs are continuing to decrease. The EI report, whose authors include experts from EI and University of California, Berkeley, finds that 99% of all coal-fired power plants in the U.S. are more expensive to operate on a forward-looking basis than the all-in cost per megawatt hour of replacement renewable energy projects. Just one of the country's 210 coal plants are more expensive to operate than either new wind or solar.
From EI's report, altogether, 205 plants have local renewable options that would be cheaper than coal-fired electricity. This potential to replace existing coal plants with cheap local clean energy generation creates significant economic benefits for community transition. Our analysis finds replacing these plants with local solar or wind would drive $589 billion in local capital investment that could support economic diversification, job creation, and tax revenue.
From Michelle Lee, policies can enable a faster clean transition. Among the recommendations by EI are that regulators, legislators, and system operators should work to, one, improve methods to assess reliability and resource adequacy, reflect the reliability value of renewables portfolios, and value the reliability attributes of a high renewables grid.
Two, update interconnection study rules to leverage existing interconnection rights and speed grid connection processes for local renewable replacement resources.
Three, enable competitive resource procurement.
Four, require reassessment of any utility investment plan, including integrated resource plans and market-based solicitations for renewable supply that were completed prior to the Inflation Reduction Act, IRA.
And five, plan for and fund a coal community-centered economic transition where local clean energy resources are the anchor for a more expansive economic transition plan.
Utilities should harness the IRA's loan and grant programs and use best practices to assess cost-saving replacement options. Variable renewable resources are fundamentally different from dispatchable fossil generators, but variability does not imply unreliability. The new resource adequacy framework will make resource diversity, energy sufficiency, regional and interregional transmission, and demand response more important.
Again, from EI's report, as system operators design new resource adequacy metrics, regulators should support them by defining minimum resource adequacy requirements and soliciting cost information.
And back to Michelle's analysis. Regulators and state legislatures can require resources that bolster reliability, like energy storage, which is a cost-effective way to integrate renewable but lags in investment.
And final quote from the report, our analysis shows that local wind or local solar plus storage could create a cheaper electricity portfolio than nearly every plant, while delivering the same amount of electricity and providing significant reliability value. Even if a coal plant weren't completely shut down, it could work in tandem with cleaner, cheaper resources fed through the same point of interconnection to deliver cheaper, cleaner electricity without materially affecting the transmission system and system operations. It might even improve these. Utilities, ISO, RTOs, and state and federal regulators should move swiftly to develop standard templates that allow for coal plant hybridization or replacement with clean portfolios. These templates would have to be generically robust enough to satisfy system reliability and stability concerns under a variety of conditions to replace coal without a lengthy interconnection process.
If you need to hear that again, it will be on the WBAI archives shortly after 7 o'clock.
And some troubling news. We got word recently that Dr. David Carpenter, a professor and researcher at the State University of Albany, who has often testified as an expert witness in toxic pollution cases against Monsanto, GE, and others, has been quietly put on alternative assignment by the university. He is not to visit any campus, but must work remotely from home and is prohibited from providing expert testimony. This disciplinary action is a result of a Freedom of Information request filed by Monsanto a year ago for records regarding Dr. Carpenter's research, including financial records.
Dr. Carpenter's research on PCBs began 40 years ago, and court records show that he has more than 400 peer-reviewed published works on neuroscience and public health. He has often faced up against Monsanto over PCBs, as that company produced most of the PCBs in the United States before the EPA banned them in 1977. Monsanto has paid billions to court verdicts. With university approval for decades, Dr. Carpenter has donated his expert testimony fees, less travel expenses, to support graduate students, staff, and research projects at the university. Having to do it carefully to avoid tax consequences or legal prohibitions, so the economic harm of this prohibition is felt not by Dr. Carpenter, but by students and programs.
Regarding his testimony in three Seattle cases that led to a $185 million verdict, Dr. Carpenter says, quote, "It was very clear that I was the favorite of the jurors in the first three cases because of the fact that I wasn't taking money myself. It is noteworthy that since I have been placed on alternative assignment, I have not been invited as an expert in the ongoing cases. This is precisely what Monsanto hoped to achieve."
Well, after that, we need some music. Dan Berggren is a gospel singer-songwriter from Buffalo, New York. He wrote this wonderfully ecological gospel song, Power from Above.
Sinners, are you ready for a little redemption, to receive forgiveness for what we've done? The time has come to break bad habits. It's time to turn to the wind and sun. Just a little more power from above, just a little more faith, respect, and love for this old earth, our only home. It may take strength to say no to that power from below, but there's salvation in the power from above. There's a better way than barrels of oil. There's a better way than lumps of coal. There's a better way to work together. Renewable power, that's our goal. That's our goal. Just a little more power from above, just a little more faith, respect, and love for this old earth, our only home. It may take strength to say no to that power from below, but there's salvation in the power from above. What will we do for a better world? Get on your knees to hope and pray. Well, that's not enough unless we change. The judgment day is every day. Wars have been fought over who owns what. Lives have been lost and fortunes won. But you and I will someday win. Cause no one owns, the wind or sun. Just a little more power from above, just a little more faith, respect, and love for this old earth, our only home. It may take strength to say no to that power from below, but there's salvation in the power from above. Just a little more power from above, just a little more faith, respect, and love for this old earth, our only home.
strength to say no to that power from below. But there's salvation in the power from above. Yes, there's salvation in the power from above.
That was Power from Above by Dan Bergren.
I love that song. Yeah. You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Before we get to Arturo Masal Dea of Casa Pueblo and Angel Roman from the Radical Elders, who introduced us, and take your phone calls, a very important thing we and all producers need to do on each show is appeal to you to help keep this radio station on the air. WBAI continues only because of listeners like you. Ecologic brings you actions you can take, letters, emails, petitions, rallies, marches, direct actions. It's all important. Action also includes funding our time with you. Please donate to WBAI and say that you are donating in the name of Ecologic. Even better, become an Ecologic BAI buddy.
Local solar power is more than energy. As you'll hear soon, generating local power is a catalyst for more community projects, more independence from colonial or corporate establishments. Do it yourself is not a common theme in mainstream media. We're different. We give you information on how to be heard at public hearings, and we can continue to do that if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us. Call 212-209-2950.
I know we talk a lot about fundraising. We need to. We need you to keep us going. This is listener-supported radio, and guess what? You are listening. Please show us you care about our show and about WBAI by giving a donation, getting one of our premiums, or even better, becoming a monthly supporter as a BAI buddy in the name of Ecologic. We appreciate you. Please help us keep WBAI on the air. Call and contribute now. The donation number is 212-209-2950.
You are interested in the welfare of the planet and its people, animals, and plants. You need Ecologic to bring you up-to-date information. Please make it possible for us to do that by supporting WBAI. Please consider taking the next few moments to pick up the phone and make that call or go online and make that donation. Contributing now shows that Ecologic is important to you, that you care about protecting our air and water. It's a win-win for you and Ecologic. The number to call is 212-209-2950.
WBAI has been involved in every political and social struggle, including the climate crisis. We really hope that you will step up to help keep WBAI and the Pacifica Network for broadcasting. You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a member for just $25, as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know that you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI and Pacifica. Support your show. Call 212-209-2950. We thank you for everything you have done for our WBAI in the past and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Our transmitter is at 4 Times Square, which is partially solar-powered, and the solar panels were installed by someone who is a friend and past guest of Ecologic. That guest, Anthony Pereira, was part of the panel on our premium Solar in the City, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for a $90 donation. You'll hear more about that premium and how it was instrumental in the fight to get commercial net metering in New York State in our special second hour today at 7 a.m.
Let's all be part of the solution.
Please support WBAI's free speech community radio by becoming an Ecologic BAI buddy, or by pledging for premiums, or by making a single donation today with $25 or more. You can become a voting member of WBAI.
Ecologic has been on BAI for more than 20 years, so we've covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. We have a selection of more than 25 items from which you can choose on the website ecologic.wbai.org. Leave out the www. Figure your budget, your interest, and how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just 10 bucks a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy? That helps the station budget its expenses. But any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly a win-win.
If you prefer not to donate online or through the call center, you can send a check or money order for your membership and or premiums. The mailing address is WBAI Radio, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
Joining us today are Angel Roman from Radical Elders and Arturo Mesordea from Casa Pueblo in Ajuntas, Puerto Rico. Welcome. Please introduce yourselves. Arturo?
Hi, good morning. Happy to be part of this bridge between Puerto Rico and the U.S. through Ecologic. I'm the executive director of Casa Pueblo in Ajuntas, a community-based environmental justice group that has been protecting the land from open street mining proposals, natural gas pipelines, and instead promoting alternative forest conservation, educational programs, and of course, energy independence for Puerto Rico. A pleasure to be here.
Angel?
Hi, Ken, Donna, Sally, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure. Just to say, I'm Angel Roman, I'm with the Radical Elders, and we're a newly formed organization, a national reach, and within the climate area, we're looking to take on the challenges of climate change and the protection of our water and air, and end all fossil fuel projects and transition to renewable energy economy. So I'm really excited to support Arturo's efforts and share in conversation with you and the audience.
I guess the most obvious question is how solar energy is giving independence to Puerto Rico. Explain how that works.
I mean, right now we are a U.S. colony, highly dependent, and the energy that is being produced to power Puerto Rico comes from fossil fuels that we don't produce. They're not from nearby. It's an extractive system. And we are in the middle of an environmental crisis with global warming. So it is a right path to move forward by reducing our ecological footprint and embrace local resources like solar power that we have quite abundant. And it's free, accessible, and can be used to democratize power generation. So since 1999, we installed the first solar system in Casa Pueblo, the community center in downtown Ajuntas, and ever since we have upgraded. By 2017, we were already fully energy independent, producing more power than what we're using, enough for Casa Pueblo, the radio stations, Radio Casa Pueblo, the solar cinema, and also we became an energy oasis for the community after Hurricane Maria, with the earthquake that we had another power outage, with Hurricane Maria, Fiona recently, so it makes sense to produce energy where it's being used, on the rooftop of these structures. We decentralize the power grid, and we are producing power where it's needed with the most abundant and clean energy source available for us.
So you've actually got your community center powered, and you also have a radio station and cinema powered by solar?
That's the microgrid that we have in Casa Pueblo. So in the but after Hurricane Maria, what we have been doing is promoting energy freedom for everyone in the community, with the aim to transform the energy landscape of the community. And we have done like 130 Casa Pueblos, I mean like houses that are now operating like Casa Pueblos, especially people with medical needs that requires like to power dialysis equipment or respiratory machine, to store medication. We have done critical infrastructure, the fire station, the emergency unit, the elderly home. We have done grocery stores around in rural areas for food security. We have done the transmission tower of Radio Casa Pueblo. We have done La Lechonera, the barbershop, and now we're doing downtown Adjuntas, the pharmacy, the pizza place, the bakery. I mean, all of that will be powered by local resources.
That is awesome.
The wealth that is driven for producing energy will be used for local development. It won't be used to pay the fossil fuel economy anymore. We're going to be generating power, and that wealth associated to the capacity to do that work will be retained within the community, and that's how you get economic activation as well.
A solar-powered pizza place. I love it.
Of course, that's what you would bomb onto.
Well, yeah. First, I glommed onto the radio show that was solar power, radio station solar powered. Now it's like pizza too. Wow.
I was there 3 years ago with the New York City Labor Chorus. We were able to visit, and they also on that day they inaugurated classrooms that were also solar powered. And that was really exciting to see. And just last night, I was watching a program from Puerto Rico, and the powers that be that are now trying to restructure debt are saying they're going to add a $13 average per month of fees to the electrical bills of everyone in Puerto Rico. That's just on top of everything else. So Arturo may know even more about that, but I thought that was horrendous, and it's something that they're proposing for, I think, 35 years to have that kind of a new fees.
And
Puerto Rico about the debt is just a tragedy. I mean, it's just so wrong, so evil.
I love the success story that Casa Pueblo is showing, that, you know, having a solar economy is not something that ought to be done or should be done, or maybe someday it will be done. You're doing it right now. Right now. And if anybody thinks, yeah, but they're way in the south, you know, it's all sunny, it's being done here as well. Bayonne High School is the same sort of situation. Right after Hurricane Sandy, it was producing energy, and people were charging cell phones, and medical personnel were charging their equipment at Bayonne High School because it was the only place with electricity for miles, and that was solar electricity. And then SUNY New Paltz is in the process of doing the same thing there, and they're an evacuation center. So that success, I mean, Casa Pueblo can be a template for everybody. The entire United States should look to Puerto Rico and go, what are you guys doing? We want to do the same thing.
Excellent. I remember working with Crowd Rescue HQ that summer and being really concerned about the people with medical equipment, with dialysis needs. And it's great that Arjuntas is doing so well at being independent and to use that overworked term, resilient. And
Yeah, this is what resilience really means.
Mm-hmm.
It means community strength. It's not individual survival. It's the interconnection of addressing the needs within the town, entertainment, communication, health, economic activation, to be able to work, food security, water security. That's what we have been promoting And it's about also redefining solar power as the primary energy source. Let's yield as much power as we can with the sun, that use it as a primary energy source, and then the others are the alternative. We have been told that Puerto Rico is so a small island that we cannot exercise the right of self-determination. And what we're saying is that we have the resources to power Puerto Rico and self-determine as well. So it's a political issue. It's an environmental, health, human rights, and of course, the right way to go, regardless of political views or for the future of the island.
Back in 2017, John Siciliano of Brooklyn got some solar panels to Puerto Rico. Do you remember getting any of those? Remember seeing that?
We got a lot of support, and actually everything we're doing is in solidarity. People from New York, David Galarza, have helped us a lot, and many people in the diaspora. Immediately after the hurricane, we got like 14,000 solar lamps, and many of them were sent from New York, Philadelphia, Houston, L.A. for Puerto Rico, people in Georgia. So, I mean, those bridges and the connectivity, the connection of people in the diaspora with Adjuntas and Puerto Rico was the strength of Puerto Rico to confront Hurricane Maria. It wasn't the government. The government failed its responsibilities, but the diaspora responded with a lot of heart and commitment. That made a huge difference.
Yeah, what you said about powering everything with solar, and if you need extra, then the fossil fuel rather than powering fossil fuel, and if you need extra, using solar. And that's exactly what Michelle Lee and EI were talking about in our first segment. And so it can be done. It should be done. There's the analysis to prove it, but the political will is what is needed. And for everybody listening, you know, tell your local decision makers that you want to follow the lead of Casa Pueblo in Puerto Rico and be a solar city. Everybody can do it. Germany has got parts where they're 100% renewable. The southernmost Germany is like northernmost New York State. So it's not where you are on the globe. It's the political will of the people controlling everything.
Yeah. Well, Ken, I want to add that Arturo recently published a book on democracy and energy. Wow. And I think it, maybe he can share more about that. It's not just solar alone, but it's also how it's distributed. We don't want like a large Con Edison facility collecting the sun and then distributing it to the people at a fee. So maybe, Arturo, I don't want to summarize your book, but you may want to share some of that insight as well and that model.
Democracia y Energía is that book that just came out, and it's been translated to English. It's about how energy can be used to redefine Puerto Rico's political future. But it's also based on the interpretation. It is a reflection of what we call the energy insurrection. What we're doing in Puerto Rico is a bottom-up challenge of the energy system, of the centralized setup, because it's not happening from the top down. It's not like the government has its national agenda and moving the you know, Puerto Rico to be more self-sufficient. No. This is happening from the bottom up. So every installation is a conquest. It's an achievement. And that book is actually a reflection of the way that Casa Pueblo has approached this issue, to share our experiences and to others, and see if we can also motivate others to do the same and fight for any energy freedom and climate responsibility.
Could you give the name of the book, both in Spanish and in English, again?
Democracia y Energía, confronting the fossil fuel economy for a country of our own, energy democracy.
Energy democracy. It should be given to every politician in the United States to show. It's like, you know, and if you're embarrassed that Puerto Rican could do something that your state can't do, well, then do something about it. Because, I mean, with less money, look at what you guys have accomplished.
But it's also not from the politicians. It's from the people.
Right. It's an important lesson. I think a lot of what WBAI is about is empowerment, because you got corporations and government telling you that you can't do something. You're just one person. And that just isn't true. And it doesn't take many people to get things accomplished. And it's there's lessons everywhere. We just happen to be giving one of those many lessons this morning.
Now, we do want to hear from you, our listeners. So please call in with your questions or comments regarding this topic for our guest. The number is 212-209-2877 to call in. That's 212-209-2877 to ask questions of Arturo and Angel.
I wanted to just mention that I want to do a shameless plug, but I'm with the Radical Elders, and if anyone is of that age, which is we use like 55 and older, we would welcome your joining. And the link would be radicalelders.net. And next week on the 18th, we're going to have a webinar on climate justice. We're able to convince Arturo he's going to have a message to us, along with other environmental activists, including Elizabeth Jean-Pierre from Uprose in Brooklyn. Mm. We have your own Sally Gellert, Ted Glick, and others. And you don't have to be a member to be part of that webinar. So if you go to the radicalelders.net, you'll be able to see that. So I just wanted to share that. And climate justice is critical. It's not the only issue we're looking at, but it's one that we wanted to start with. Thank you.
Yes. And Arturo, you've got a big event coming up on March 18th, right?
Yes. La Marcha del Sol. So we're going to be celebrating the inauguration of the downtown microgrid, but instead of a simple festivity, I mean, of that large installation, 170 kilowatts with 1 mega of solar power with 1 megawatt of energy storage capacity for the pharmacy, for the pizza place, and all of those locations. Mm-hmm. But instead of just a festivity, we want to marchar to keep the struggle moving forward. On the 18th of March, we're going to take the streets of Adjuntas to advocate for energy independence, not only for downtown Adjuntas, but for every single municipality and town in Puerto Rico, that we should be building energy freedom for everyone, and not to be distracted as well from the U.S. Congress, which is allocating money to Puerto Rico and basically saying, oh, no, we're going to take care of the energy transition. And, you know, nothing has happened with all of that money in the past. So it's like creating false expectations of a transition that perhaps will not happen. So we have to keep the bottom-up initiative. We have to galvanize social power to keep the movement moving forward to build that solar power Puerto Rico. So that's happening on the 18th of March, La Marcha del Sol in Adjuntas. You are all invited. You will be welcome in our hometown.
Are you finding that the government or fossil fuel companies are trying to stop what you're doing, or are you just not on their radar yet?
They do. I mean, in general, they're trying to impose a tax to the sun. They have imposed like new requirements for solar installations. they are that public debt is also a mean to perpetuate the past, the obsolete fossil fuel infrastructure. So you see it how they move and try to sustain their centralized mentality. The power utility have been privatized, generation, transmission, and distribution. So their business model is for people to buy energy, not to produce their own power. So there's a direct conflict in the business model. So it's not easy. We have to keep building up the alternative and the energy democracy goal and aspiration that everyone in Puerto Rico should be producing as much power as they can, and the utility will be for anything else. But it will be smaller, not larger. And that should be our hope, to make the utility smaller and more participation from people in the energy infrastructure.
Yeah.
It must be a great feeling to know that you are independent from the government or the fossil fuel companies. And yeah, I would just like to hear about that feeling, you know, from everybody, because it shouldn't be unusual to make your own energy when you have a roof. And right now it is, although that's changing rapidly. We'll be talking about this in the second hour, that solar installer has been the number one growth occupation in the U.S. for years now. So clearly, you know, Casa Pueblo is not alone, but everything's under the radar.
Arturo, what kind of pushback are you getting?
I don't want to get into that. We try to bypass getting permits and things. It's an issue, and all the complications are. But we try to bypass all the constraints, and we're moving forward with what we think ought to be done. It's about justice. We have done, for example, the barbershop, and that guy used to work 1.5 days of his monthly workload was to pay the energy for his business. And now he's producing his own power, and he's enjoying his work better position to enjoy his productive activity. So producing power, it's more important than all of the constraints that you can get from different sectors. But the love, the support, the consensus in Puerto Rico is so big. We were a minority in 1999, but not anymore. I mean, people from all political views, they do support, they do recognize that this is the path to go. And you see it from religious people to common person in academia. All of them are supporting Casa Pueblo, and that's more powerful than any constraint we get from the government.
Arturo, I was going to ask, we're looking into the future, but if you could just reflect a bit about the past. Arturo is a Casa Pueblo offspring. Maybe you want to share a little bit about the origins of Casa Pueblo with your late mother and your father, who is still in the picture, and they're both engineers. You want to just say a little bit about how it came to be 43 years ago?
I'm the son of Alexis Masol and Titi de Ya, the founders of Casa Pueblo. Alexis is still co-directing Casa Pueblo. And we were born and raised in the middle of a struggle, an environmental struggle, when multinational companies wanted to do open street mining in the island, and they got organized with the community around that issue to stop that from happening. But instead of stopping just with the opposition, with protesting that economic model, they decided to promote alternatives, to evolve from protesting, which we have to do it from time to time, to proposing alternative and assuming the responsibility of building up those those proposals, and that's what Casa Pueblo is all about. And they have been the center, there, the spine of Casa Pueblo's work before, now, and in the future. So their presence is extremely important, and they're Puerto Rican heroes and environmental heroes as well. He won the Goldman Prize in 2002 for the environmental achievements in Puerto Rico. So I'm very proud.
And congratulations. That's great. Yeah. That's an important honor.
I love doing good news shows. And I love doing shows that are practical. You know, so much of environmental emails that I get are kind of like, you know, what people want to see happen, and not talking about the templates. And I think it's so important that we can present the listeners of BAI with proof that it's all can be done, all of it.
I'm thinking about building up a community of solar. That the Scenic Hudson and Clearwater program for the towns, look at what their resources are and how to use them for solar, is similar to what's happening out there in Ahuntas. So on more of a political scale, but nonetheless, it's about building up a community's own solar power rather than looking at the fossil fuel companies and the utilities.
I mean, just think of
what's happening. It is happening everywhere in multiple communities. They want to keep it like isolated, like independent communities. But if you add all of those initiatives, it's very powerful what is happening in Puerto Rico, in the U.S., and other locations. That's why it's so important to match up for the sun, the Marcha del Sol, is to put all the together, all the people, and give visibility to what is happening. I want to just say that you're free to go to Puerto Rico. I mean, to come to Adjuntas Casa Pueblo. We are on the website casapueblo.org, and you can follow all on social media to get more information and ways that you can support as well what we're doing for our community, our country, and our planet.
Well, we have time for one brief question because we're on our last minute here, but we do have a question. Can we hear from the caller?
Yes, my name is Anna, and it's not so much a question, but it is, I feel so, I'm Puerto Rican, and I'm so proud of the work that they're doing. And I just wanted to say to Arturo, he's an inspiration, and to the town of Ahuntas to have that kind of support, that kind of community is so, so important. I live in an HDFC, which are these low-income cooperatives, and I've been in one for many years, there's been some talk and some movement towards installing solar panels, and this has inspired me to learn more about it. So I just want to thank you for having this show. And,
great.
And we
thank you for calling in. Well, it's time to wrap up this first hour. So thanks for joining us this morning. We are glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 a.m. live or on the archives. For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org. And you can reach Arturo at Casa Pueblo, CasaPueblo.org.
We'd love to stay in touch with you, so those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Radical Elders is at radicalelders.net February 18th in the afternoon. It's Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics, so go to www.ecoradio.org. We'll be guests on the local station board outreach and fundraising meeting this Monday, February 13th at 7 p.m. So if you have feedback for us, or if you just want to hear what's happening with WBAI outreach and fundraising, we invite you to join the Zoom meeting. You can find a registration link on ecoradio.org or follow the trail from meetings on WBAI.org. WBAI is community radio, and there are lots of ways to get involved. And, of course, we always need your donations.
To support Ecologic, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found both on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BII buddy, call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BII buddy pledges. Most of BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Funding is still needed for everything else that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment, upkeep. Pledging now, during this show, really helps Ecologic especially.
And our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, February 18th. And please stay tuned. Stay on the radio for the second hour of our solar spectacular coming up from 7 to 8 a.m.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar power, inexpensive energy.
Extinction Diaries. There may only be about 60 Maui dolphins left on Earth. The New Zealand species is not receiving adequate protection, so the Sea Shepherd Society is calling upon the United States government and citizens to ban all New Zealand seafood imports to pressure a protective response from that nation. In their statement, Sea Shepherd declared New Zealand failed to implement a recommendation from the International Whaling Commission that all trawl and set nets be banned in the dolphins' habitat down to 100 meters. Estimates have been made that $20 million of fish value would be lost annually if that 100 meters was protected, but 200 $400 million would be lost if the U.S. refused New Zealand's entire seafood importation. Therefore, Sea Shepherd's plea and request to the High Court sends a powerful message to the citizens of the U.S. If the Americans can get behind the ban, a certain extinction can be stopped, at least for now. The same judge who banned all seafood imports from Mexico to protect the even more endangered vaquita dolphin down to just 10 is making this decision. The verdict, hope or despair for the Maui dolphin, is expected in just weeks. My name is Rising Moon, and this is a Small World Radio production.
Hello, I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by. I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
This is Bob Law with what I think is an important announcement. I will be on the air for an additional hour, now from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. A little more time, a lot more ideas and information. So join me on Saturday morning from now on for 2 hours, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here at 99.5 FM WBAI New York.
This is Ralph Nader. You can now listen to the Ralph Nader Radio Hour on Saturday afternoon at 5 p.m. It'll be one of the least forgettable radio programs in your experience because we touch on subjects not covered by the mainstream media, the public media, and often the independent media. You can listen to this program on listener-sponsored WBAI at 99.5 FM. We're broadcast and streamed at WBAI.org.
It ain't gonna happen until folks like you and me just stand up. Well, you've been sitting way too long.
Oh, step up.
You know what's right and you know what's wrong.
Rise up.
Don't let the system hold you down.
This is Julian Assange. You're listening to WBAI New York. Stay strong and keep listening.
You don't know what you've got till it's gone. They paid paradise, put up a parking lot.
If they keep on polluting the earth, telling where we gonna plant our seeds, it makes me wanna cry. For the children, makes me wanna cry. For Mother Earth, makes me wanna cry.
We could know if we listen.
Welcome to the second hour of Equalogic Solar Special at 7 a.m. right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org.
Good morning. Glad you can join us for Equalogic's second hour for this week. Clean air and water are healthy air and water. Every day is Earth Day. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein, and this is Solar Special Presentation at 7 a.m. for February 11th, 2023.
When your air or water are clean, thank an environmentalist. If not, become one. Enough said.
If you missed any of our first hour, it will be on WBAI archives any minute now. We'll link to it from the Equalogic webpage soon after that.
We've been at 6 a.m. on Saturdays for a couple of months now, and we'd like to introduce ourselves more completely to the 7 a.m. risers.
We are part of an ecologic collective of environmental activists and experts who bring ideas for shows, and they sometimes join us on air. I am Donna Stein. I am on the board of directors of New York City Friends of Clearwater and Hudson River Sloop Clearwater. I've been a grassroots activist for decades with a focus on the environmental, anti-war, and human rights issues. Another passion is kayaking every chance I get, especially kayaktivism.
I'm Sally Gellert, your New Jersey co-host. I'm a member of Radical Elders, InterOccupy, and Democracy Watch News, and a longtime environmentalist. I'm co-chairperson of Unitarian Universalists for a Just Economic Community, and an officer of the Lackawanna Coalition and New Jersey Transit's Senior Citizen and Disabled Residents Advisory Committee. I've been working with the Indian Point Safe Energy Coalition since 2011, and now with the National Radioactive Waste Coalition. I see myself as a connector of groups working on diverse issues.
I'm Ken Gale. I started Ecologic in 2002. I've been an environmentalist most of my life. I started out as a birder and a nature lover, still am, and have been a major part of a number of environmental successes I can be proud of, such as helping to stop uranium mining near New York City's Casco Reservoirs and helping to get New York's commercial net metering law passed in 2008, which has saved thousands of megawatts of electricity, enough to power over a million homes in the first 10 years alone. You'll hear more about that in a few minutes. Mm-hmm. I am the author of Chernobyl on the Hudson, and an eco-horror story in an anthology comic book, and I maintain Ecologic's website, www.ecoradio.org.
What you're about to hear is part of a 3-DVD set called Solar in the City, featuring a panel that changed the state legislature on behalf of solar energy and reversing the climate crisis. We can't play you all 3 DVDs, so what you'll hear are excerpts of an episode of Ecologic that followed that historic panel. The guests for our show included solar installers David Buckner, Tom Catley, John Messerschmidt, and along with Andy Wilson, who at the time was active with the New York City Sierra Club and is now Senior Energy Policy Advisor with the New York Environmental Law and Justice Project.
One of the panelists, John Siciliani of Brooklyn, sent solar panels to Puerto Rico in 2017 after Hurricane Maria, saying on Facebook, "Donated solar panels unloaded in Brooklyn for bound for Puerto Rico. Not quite paper towels, but they're slightly more useful. Hashtag Puerto Rico." Another of the panelists, Anthony Pereira of Alt Power, is the person who put the solar panels on 4 Times Square, where WBI's transmitter is. You can see the first installed panels by Richard Klein of Cathodic Systems, his first solar array, thermal array, by looking east from the corner of 6th Avenue and West 4th Street. And the fourth panelist was Tom Gately, whom you'll be hearing as we play excerpts from the episode of Ecologic that aired not long after the panel.
The panel inspired those who were there to write to the New York State Legislature and inspired Sierra Club Atlantic and other groups to get their members to write, and we won.
Solar energy is a direct replacement for poison power, King Kong energy, coal, oil, nuclear, and gas, and for mega dams. It gives more employment per dollar spent and watts saved than any of the poison powers. The list of certified installers has grown by leaps and bounds, Solar installer has been the fastest growing job in America for quite a few years now. Political will is a key.
The next bottleneck is going to be dim trained technicians. It's growing so much, or?
Well, it's, I guess it's the process of purifying that sand into high-grade silicon. And apparently that's a pretty intense process. It takes a little while. But I guess we've always been competing with the computer industry for silicon chips. And I believe it was just last year that the PV industry finally surpassed the computer industry with long-term purchase orders sometime in the last year or so.
Yeah.
So we're being taken for real. Every morning I get a thing from Lehman Brothers on the industry report, what's going on. It just seems like literally every day there's another plant that's coming online that's going to produce another 300 megawatts or whatever. So I believe by 2010, we'll see some serious easing of supply constraints there. Still, until then, it's going to stay the way it is, I believe.
And there is other materials being, you know, we're going beyond silicon-based PV as well. There's a lot of thin film products coming online in the next year or so. I don't know if you want names or not, but there are some really good ones. And, I think we're going to also be moving away from our traditional sort of solar panels in a lot of ways, maybe doing a lot of peel stick type of maybe applications, or endless list of applications, I think.
And, Tom, what is your interaction, if any, with the Bronx Community College and those that are being trained out of that college? Center for Sustainable Energy.
Right. Yeah, I'm very familiar with it, yeah, of course. A guy that I trained with did some teaching up there, I may still do, Jonathan Lane. You know, he's a Long Island installer. I think he's still involved in that. It's a great school. I love what they do. And they've got some good graduates come out of it. But there are others that we also sort of, you know, draw technicians from. And I would say as well, we need an awful lot more of that. Back to one comment earlier on is where there was a shortage, or still is a shortage of PV. That is starting to relax. There is more of a coming on market. I think we'll see a lot of improvement out.
Bronx Community College has suspended their solar classes due to lack of students, but they told me a few years ago that they would bring the classes back if they had enough students. At the time, 6 would have been enough students. The potential is there, folks.
You should be able to find 6 students for sure. CUNY created a solar map showing the potential for solar energy for every building in New York. SUNY New Paltz is an emergency center, and it's making sure that they have power in an emergency. They intend to be a model for the 60 of the 62 SUNY campuses that are also emergency shelters, following the model from Bayonne High School's solar array that was installed by recurring Ecologic guest Tom Thompson. Bayonne High School was the only power source for miles during the aftermath of Superstorm Sandy. Even then, there had been progress, but today we are truly coming a long way from the simple solar index of the early 1980s.
There's been a lot of innovation in solar technology. We did an entire show on solar developments on December 10, 2021. This is often where you hear the latest environmental news. Mainstream media is just starting to catch up to what Ecologic has been telling you for years.
At an eco event in the South Bronx organized by Omar Fria, one of the guests on our first ever Ecologic in 2002, a Catskill solar thermal installer, spoke about the need for more thermal workers in New York. He had all the work that he could handle closer to home. The opportunity is there, friends.
There is a discussion of solar thermal in the Solar in the City Premium, which we'll play for you now.
How about solar thermal and your experience with installation and the limitations to installing that equipment?
Well, Mike, I don't do solar thermal systems. I do get a lot of interest from people as the years go by. I think the technology is excellent. It's gotten more and more efficient. For me, it's just a difference between plumbing and electricity. And when I sort of got into this business 8 or 9 years ago, I fell in love with the electricity side of it. So I like that. I like the limited maintenance associated with PV. But there's not the incentives that are out there for solar as there are for PV. But the paybacks are pretty phenomenal.
Solar thermal is heat and hot water.
Yes, heating hot water. We typically are, you know, pumping it with a glycol system because, you know, they can freeze up in the northeast here. I love the technology. It isn't dependent, of course, on incentives. it still gets that investment tax credit, the federal 30% tax credit still gets that. But it's not as dependent upon rebates and other incentives like that, because it is a more simple technology. The equipment itself is not that expensive relatively to that of PV. And paybacks are low already. And there are some programs even to come into place to help that along. For example, National Grid, which is a European energy company, came in not long ago, bought Keyspan and many other providers in the region. And they are putting in place a program for, some sort of a type of rebate program for solar thermal.
Also, solar thermal is a little more forgiving as far as shading on the panels. A lot of times some people want a PV system and they don't really have the sunlight for it. But they have a little bit, and solar thermal would be a good application in that case.
Yeah. And we've gone beyond just doing, a lot of the time here in the States, it was used just to do domestic hot water. You put your typical two-panel, three-panel system up on a roof for a residential, and it provides you domestic hot water. And we've gone beyond that now in the last few systems to doing, 10, 20 solar thermal panels for radiant floor heating and domestic hot water, and then use a pool or jacuzzi if you have that luxury to set. Use that as your heat dump. And it's very efficient.
If you like what you're hearing, all three DVDs can be yours for a donation of $90 to WBAI. Go to ecologic.wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 and get your DVDs.
By the way, there is something called two-tier solar, with solar thermal sandwiched between photovoltaic panels and the roof. The thermal array gets so hot that the heat must be vented. Wow. This makes the photovoltaic panels 10% more efficient in generating electricity for you.
Throughout the show, we are playing excerpts from just one of the three DVDs on Solar in the City Premium. Get it for your very own. The panel opens with a slideshow by Richard Klein of Quixotic Systems, which works a lot better on video than it does on radio.
For sure. What do you hear today about solar power? In some ways, not much. It has become mainstream. There was a flurry of negative coverage of subsidies a couple of years ago. But how much do you hear about the fossil fuel subsidies or the attempts to classify nuclear energy as clean? We're not fooled, and WBAI listeners are not fooled. Unlike mainstream media, we don't simply pick up corporate press releases. We ask the hard questions and kick the tires. We've given you information on how to be heard at public hearings, and we can continue to do that if you do your part by contributing to WBAI. Ecologic serves you and the community with these and many environmental stories about issues that affect our health and well-being. We can't do it without you. We're about exposing the bad guys and celebrating the good ones. Support us, please. Call 212-209-2950.
You can also send a check or money order for $90 directly to WBAI to get the 3-DVD set Solar in the City. The address is WBAI-FM, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11217.
While we play this next song for you, maybe you could do something for us. Go online to ecologic.wbai.org or call 212-209-2950 to order Solar in the City or one of our other premiums, or to become an Ecologic BA buddy, or simply make a donation. Here is John Hall's Power.
That was Power by John Hall, as performed at a No Nukes concert by more than a dozen musicians, including Doobie Brothers, Chaka Khan, James Taylor, Bonnie Raitt, Carly Simon, Clarence Clemons, Jackson Browne, and Graham Nash. Some of you might know John Hall as the lead singer-songwriter of Orleans or as a congressman from the Hudson Valley.
One of the DVDs included in Solar in the City is a recording of a panel that was held in the spacious Friends Meeting House on East 16th Street. Every seat was filled with activists who were there to learn how to expand the solar industry in New York State. It worked beyond our fondest dreams. Both houses of the state legislature supported the commercial net metering bill requested by the four installers on the panel, Republicans and Democrats alike. The bill was passed in just 5 months and signed by the governor 2 months later. While they were at it, they passed and signed a 35% property tax abatement that installers had been asking for years. It was mentioned only briefly on the panel, but we got that too.
This is a perfect example of what committed activists can do. And the Ecologic was part of the organizing effort. Yay! All of the members of the panel had previously been on Ecologic. This is the kind of programming you are supporting with your donation dollars.
Speaking of activism, the main factor that led to beneficial permitting for solar energy on Long Island was the work of people who shut down the Shoreham nuclear plant and replaced the anti-solar Long Island Lighting Company with the pro-solar Long Island Power Authority. As a result, Long Island has more solar panels per person than probably any other two counties in America. During the efforts to close Shoreham, all the organizations had a different focus: lobbying, writing, civil disobedience, legal work. Whatever a person was comfortable doing, there was a group doing that. And it was understood that different strategies and tactics were needed. Groups would publicize each other's events, even if they were not participating, saying, well, we don't do that, but check out this activity by another group. It was a beautiful networking. Not, we do this and nothing else. We don't want to work with those folks. But everyone realizing they needed each other. It was never just one strategy. It took all of them.
Here's another excerpt from our Solar in the City premium about installing solar on Long Island.
Tom, you work a lot on Long Island, and yet your business is in Queens. Why do you do so much work on Long Island instead of Queens?
The program's great out there.
No, what's the difference?
Yeah, well, I am looking to do business here in New York as well, so, and I'm also in Jersey, so it's not just Long Island.
And so you can give us a comparison of what all those places are like.
Somewhat, yeah. Long Island, the only disadvantage to Long Island is that you are dealing with maybe, 100 and something different, townships, towns, hamlets, they're all these, definitions of...
David's got his head.
And that makes it complicated out there. Now, that's from a town, town and county sort of point of view and level. You need your building permits. Each town has got its own rules. And, the bureaucracy that goes with that, having to understand and know how each one of them works, it's a lot for a small company to keep, to keep on top of. But the LIPA program is very forgiving, very quick sort of approval process, and the rebates are good as well. They keep in sync with what my services are as well. But I like it from the LIPA point of view. I wish they would streamline their town process out there, all right, but they are talking about that as well.
Apparently within 1 year they're going to have some type of uniform standard.
They've been talking about it for years, though.
Jurisdictions.
And hopefully they're getting there.
There's a tension between truly local democracy and the regional planning that helps companies work in a larger area. In the case of solar on Long Island, as in the New Jersey Pinelands and Highlands, the regional plans are beneficial. However, I also think back to Robert Moses and the urban planners who dismissed the concerns of local residents until Jane Jacobs stood up for the mothers and children of Greenwich Village. Even today, the Department of Transportation in New Jersey is pushing a project to widen the turnpike in Jersey City over local objections.
And yeah, the case of LIPA is really power of the people. It's got a lot of similarities to Casa Polvo that you heard about in the first hour.
Mm-hmm. Here are examples of how solar panels can save you money.
all of that together, you're looking at less than 5-year paybacks on solar electricity systems in the city.
And then after that, your electricity is free.
Correct.
Right. And panels are warranted for 25 years. There's no moving parts within the system, so there's virtually no maintenance on these sort of systems. You know,
so you have a minimum of 20 years of free electricity.
Yeah, 25 is the standard.
40.
And it'll probably give you 40.
Yeah.
Right. You also have an accelerated depreciation program that allows you to write it off. This is, again, for commercial, where you can write it off over 5 years. And that, for a company that has that ability to absorb those tax credits and, you know, that depreciation is something that really helps that company a lot.
And there have been articles in home improvement magazines talking about how it affects property values.
Yeah.
You know, that the price of a system and what percentage of it makes your property values go up.
A lot of banks...
So that's another payment you get, you know, if you ever decide to move. So if you're worried about, well, what if I'm up there for 20 years? Right. It's like, well, you get it on your property value. So
there's a lot of banks in California that have looked at that issue. And, you know, they want to know what they're actually securing, what they're financing. And so by that, they looked at what effect it was having on their property. And they found it was multiples of the cost.
The way I've heard that before is if for every dollar that you reduce your energy cost, annual energy cost, that your property value would go up by about $10.
Yeah.
So if you have a 10-kilowatt system that's, you know, round numbers, it's going to produce more than 10,000 kilowatt hours, but let's pretend it produces 10,000 kilowatt hours annually and it's worth $1,500, I believe you'd multiply that by 10, and that would be your, you know, assumed property value going up by that number.
Wait, it sounds like you guys are saying it's kind of, you know, when you add everything together, it's sort of free.
Great package. Yeah. And there's even some better parts of this. There are some grants available outside the NYSERDA net. There's some parts of the state and city where you've got extra accelerated depreciation. Sorry, you can let
so
it
you have to
for
think,
a year.
So as long as you think in long range, yeah, it's all doable.
You get paid back down to 4 to 6 years in some cases if you can get take advantage of all that packages.
And there's the sales tax issue.
Yeah.
On the equipment.
On the equipment. That is exempt for residential throughout the whole state, as far as I know. And commercial, yes, the panels are as well. But
for those of you listening who are outside New York, there's a website that'll tell about the funding all over the country called, it's desireusa.org. It's desire without the first E. So it's DSIREUSA.org. And that summarizes the funding opportunities for all types of renewable energy throughout the United States. So that's because we're talking about New York doesn't mean you can't join in as well.
Solar pioneer Richard Gottlieb, who put solar cells on NASA satellites, said the lack of moving parts means a solar panel should last for 100 years. The reason for the 25-year warranties are because the technology was so new. They didn't know how long they'd really last, but they wanted to put something.
The economic benefits have just gotten better over the years, as the amount of power a solar cell makes has increased and the prices have shrunk and shrunk.
You're listening to Ecologic, WBAI's premier environmental show, right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM and WBAI.org. We usually start at 6 a.m. I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein.
We're bringing you excerpts of one of Ecologic's many premiums, Solar in the City. It's three DVDs for $90 and includes a panel discussion with four solar installers that led to a commercial net metering law in New York. There had been residential net metering since the 90s, but none for commercial and industrial properties. Net metering is when the solar panels on your roof make more power than you need and send the extra back to supply the electricity grid. Your electric meter actually runs backwards to your benefit.
That panel discussion, with many activists in the audience, emphasized how many solar installer and electrician jobs would be created and the economic benefit to the state. And that argument was so convincing to the Republicans that they supported the bill better than the Democrats did.
Some environmental groups in the New York Solar Energy Industries Association, NYSEA, had been fighting for that law for years. The then Republican-controlled state Senate kept blocking it. When I called NYSEA to tell them to get their folks in the rest of the state working on it because we were pushing from New York City, I was told, I know, all they're talking about in Albany is solar. It was an exciting time.
That's cool. Pamela Timmons was there to videotape that panel. including Richard Klein's slideshow that led it off. And she made the video available to WBAI as a premium for our listeners. The panel led to a wonderful victory, and no matter what issue you're involved with, environmental or not, it is a great lesson in citizen politics. You'll be watching history in the making. Pamela also videotaped the episode of Ecologic that we did a while later, which includes the excerpts that we've been playing for you since 7 a.m. That's also included in the 3DD set, Solar in the City, for a $90 donation, and it can be yours.
You're hearing us now because listeners like you pitched in to help. You listen to Ecologic, so be a part of it. Join us as a member for just $25, or as a BAI buddy for $10 or more a month, or just make a donation today to let us know that you're listening, that you care about Ecologic and WBAI. Support your show.
We thank you for everything you've done for our WBAI in the past, and look for your continued support so we can keep thanking you.
Our transmitter is at 4 Times Square, which is partially solar-powered, and the solar panels were installed by someone who is a friend and past guest of Ecologic, Anthony Pereira of ALT Power, Alt Power. He was part of the panel you heard about today, which is part of a 3-DVD set available for a $90 donation. We hope that you enjoyed hearing excerpts from Solar in the City, our 3-DVD set, and hope you'll pick up a copy for yourself to hear the rest for a donation of $90.
The lessons learned by activists at that panel were instrumental in the fight to get commercial net metering in New York City. And we can use similar techniques for today's climate fight. We can also look to groups like Casa Pueblo and what they're doing from a ground-up basis.
Yeah. Let's all be part of the solution. Please support WBAI's free speech community radio by becoming an Ecologic BAI buddy or by pledging for premiums or by making a single donation today. With $25 or more, you become a voting member of WBAI.
Ecologic has been on BAI for more than 20 years, so we have covered lots of environmental topics, and some of our most popular past shows have been made into DVDs and CDs that we offer as thank you gifts to our donors. We have a selection of more than 25 items from which you can choose on the website ecologic.wbai.org. Figure your budget, your interest, and how much you appreciate WBAI and Ecologic. Can you find just $10 a month to be a sustaining BAI buddy? That helps the station budget its expenses, but any donation to WBAI in the name of Ecologic is truly a win-win.
Yeah, being a buddy really does help, because that way they know they've got a consistent amount of dollars coming in month after month, and that helps pay the bills as they come due. And the three DVDs that we're offering today offer a lot of information on solar energy itself. You're hearing from people who do the work and run the companies. There's nothing abstract about the information you get. It's practical, on-the-ground advice.
Ecologic has created many other premiums as well. Most of them are on ecologic.wbai.org. Leave out the www. We have many environmental topics. Select your favorite.
You can also send your check or money order for $90 directly to WBAI. The address is WBAI-FM, Attention Membership, 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. That's 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, 11237. Be sure to request Solar in the City. 11217.
We're about to play a segment about solar renewable energy credits, SRECs. As far as I'm concerned, it's Wall Street sticking their hands into solar and taking the cut that belongs to the homeowner. The more solar there is, the less value per SREC, causing Wall Street types to say things like, there's too much solar in New Jersey.
Right.
Yeah. You'll hear the term feed-in tariff, which is horribly named, and should be called something like solar energy income. Tariff sounds like a cost to the homeowner, one is actually paid to them, and it pays more than net metering provides. Feed-in tariffs are how Germany expanded its solar energy industry to the point where there are moments when all the electricity in Germany is provided by renewable sources. The first time was in December 2010, and since then, those moments have gotten longer and longer and much more frequent.
You know, I was all for the solar renewable energy credit market in New Jersey, and I believe California is doing a hybrid of it as well. But I'm already hearing that that California is complaining about the complexity of it. And I know New Jersey is having similar issues with you're introducing a level of trading and sophistication, which we really don't need to introduce. It could be a straight, what they call feed-in tariff, where you connect to the grid and you feed the grid and you get a certain price per kilowatt hour for 15 or 20 years as a contract from the utility. And they can prove that that's going to be a lot less costly over 15 or 20 years developing the industry than giving upfront rebates today. So I think if I had my wish list, if New York City could, you know, lead New York State into a feed-in tariff model, it would be a wonderful thing for all of us.
Now, what's the difference between, you know, the rebates you're talking about and out-and-out subsidies that, like, you know, coal, oil, and nuclear power industries, they get direct subsidies from the government. So we're talking rebates. So how? What's the difference?
Well, the rebate is funded by a charge that's on every electricity bill throughout the state, and that's what's basically funding NYSERDA to allow, you know, this rebate program to be in place. NYPA does something similar. Comes to the subsidy side of things, that's I don't know whether that, how that is, you know, justified. I mean, makes sense.
Well, because the oil companies don't make enough money, so we have to give them subsidies.
Right.
That's being subsidized by the government. PV is being subsidized by the tax, by us, by the people through their phone bill or their electricity bills.
Which is the system benefit charge in New York State.
Right, that's right.
Which funds NYSERDA.
It's not a government agency.
Renewable portfolio standards brought in by SRECs and other credits leading to a whole lot of credit trading, which is a very controversial thing. In some sense, particularly when an environmental justice community is involved, it's virtually ineffective. Too often, it does nothing to improve quality of life at the site of the entity that is buying credits to fulfill their clean energy obligations. It's basically paying to pollute, although some remote areas, at least theoretically, get a benefit.
I remember when renewable portfolio standards first came in. Annie Wilson, one of the panelists you've heard, and I talked about them. We were both optimistic. And a year later, we talked again. Wall Street and its politicians had dashed our hopes.
Soft costs are the bane of every solar energy installer. They're the cost beyond the cost of solar cells and racking systems and inverters and labor, of the inspection charges and the dealing with bureaucracy.
Well, we've hit the radar for a few years. First couple of years, nobody knew what PV was. So as far as Con Ed was concerned, we were training the inspectors, and they kind of realized what's going on. They don't know what it is. They don't want to know. Now we're kind of regulated. We do have to get a building permit now, which is okay.
Oh, you are building something.
Yeah, we're building something on a roof. You know, we want it to be structurally sound before we put some panels up there. But there's a cost associated with that that didn't exist before. What else is there? NRTL.
Yeah, I'd say, talking about the difficulty in New York City, David knows a lot about this as well, I guess. The UL, there's a UL site rating requirement here in New York, which is something we really need to get rid of. And what that means is all solar panels are certainly all the components of a PV system. The inverter, the panel, the modules themselves all have to have a UL number or have to be UL rated, listed.
You're right, a laboratory, right?
Yes, right. Now, in New York, there's a requirement that goes beyond that to say that not only does the components have to be UL listed, but they also, as a system, have to be UL approved. So there's a site assessment involved in that, on top of your building inspection, which is New York City, and then on top of that, your electrical inspection.
And that's all different place, right?
Yeah, then you have Con Ed inspection.
Right.
You can have a NYSERDA inspection. So you can put up a 5-kilowatt solar array and expect 5 different inspections over a 6-month time period.
So it just, and you're constantly nagging Con Edison to come out to inspect it.
It can be that way.
But it kills the finances on it. Because, you know, there's a cost associated with every one of these, and time, of course. Mm-hmm. So, you know, 5 kilowatts and any numbers like that really start making it very difficult to sell.
I believe I'm almost 100% certain that New York City is the only jurisdiction in the country that implemented this third-party UL-type certification. And again, I think we all understand that we need to build safe solar electric and solar hot water systems, but this is solar electricity that we're talking about. It's very important that we can't have a slip-up. We can't have bad installations. The industry's too new. But at the same time, we can't get crazy and start putting layers of cost on and time on a project that actually is going to sort of kill the small industry.
Yeah, because it's pretty much all small entrepreneurs doing this, right?
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. There's no massive international corporation selling solar panels.
They're not installing.
Fortunately, we don't depend on PV installations for our bread and butter like David does. It'll add $5,000 to the cost of the system. Easy.
Whoa, that's a lot.
You're talking $30,000 for a 3.5 kW system on a residence right now.
And five of that could be just in inspections and five the likes of that.
And you're not making any money off of that at all.
New York City is still the only place with a UL requirement for the whole system rather than just the parts. And that is due to a bad installation done by a company from Ohio that won a minimum bid for a contract in the Bronx and did a horrible job. Now all the good installers have an extra burden.
Nowadays, soft costs are a fraction of what they were when that clip was recorded, though. The time needed for all the inspections and bureaucracy has gone from almost 2 years to about 5 months. As the number of solar installations has increased and everyone involved became more familiar with the technology, inspections are faster and the paperwork has become more routine and therefore easier to fill out and faster to process. So things are looking up.
Back in the 70s, Con Ed tried to stop the new solar industry by putting in huge charges to connect to the grid. Other utilities did the same. President Carter had to step in and limit what utilities could charge to connect to the electricity grid.
The solar installers you're hearing are all part of the Solar in the City 3 DVD premium you can get for a $90 donation. Call 212-209-2950 or go to ecologic.wbai.org.
Solar installers know how the electricity grid functions in the areas where they work. New York City has a different grid than the suburbs. This recording was made after the episode of Ecologic. Everyone enjoyed that show so much they kept talking afterwards, so Pamela Timmons kept recording. You won't hear this conversation anywhere else. The background hum, by the way, was from the vending machine in the common area.
Most of New York City is a networked grid. Yes. So as opposed to when you go out to Long Island or you know, pretty much probably 95% of the country, you'll have, you know, power poles. If you go down the street, if one power pole gets knocked out, it knocks out the whole street. That's radio. In New York City, we have a networked grid so that you have three overlapping grids. So that if you have a problem in one area, a network protector can open up and stop a short circuit, and the other two parts of the network can continue to feed all the other buildings. So it's redundant, they call it, and it's very reliable, actually, but it presents problems for backfed power because those network protectors sense backfed current as a short circuit, or at least this is what we're being told. And until somebody can do a study on the grid and prove that that's the case or not the case, we're going to be left with not knowing. And right now, not knowing means Con Ed doesn't allow us to backfeed the grid on commercial systems.
Backfeed power just means if you make more energy than you use, then you get paid for it.
Correct.
That's right.
Yes. And you can.
Backwards.
So that's regardless of net metering or not. It's just being grid tied in itself. So if you're sending back any energy at all, regardless of what that price is, then you're going to cause a problem on the grid.
I don't think we can fight Con Edison, and I don't think we should. But they're too entrenched, they're too important to the city. They are the city, so we need to get them on our side somehow. And it's happening slowly.
Solar installers still have to work with Con Ed, and they say that other utilities are worse. And that backfeed problem that he was talking about, the utilities were successfully using that to slow down the solar industry. And it's interesting that the fire department is sometimes repeating Con Ed's line, and sometimes they're not. It all depends on who the fire chief of any given city is. But the installers say that other utilities are worse than Con Ed.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. The redundant grid is why New York City has fewer blackouts than so many other places. Of course, when there is one, it's a doozy, and the whole country knows about it.
Blackouts are not exactly common in Bergen County, but they do happen from time to time. After Sandy, a lot of people got generators. But most of us just break out the lanterns or candles and keep the refrigerator door closed.
When I started going to solar conferences and meetings, even before Ecologic started in 2002, they were like 90% men. Nowadays, it's very close to 50%. In fact, over the years, most environmental groups have had more women than men, except for solar groups. I've seen the gender balance change over the years. CUNY does a solar summit every June, not during COVID, the height of COVID. And I've seen the attendance of that change. It's run by Tria Case of Sustainable CUNY, and they have installers speaking, and Con Ed has spoken, fire chiefs have spoken. They have a lot of wonderful speakers, and I really enjoy that conference. That was where I learned that the commercial net metering bill had been passed. I wonder if they waited until June because of the solar summit. But there's been so much increase in solar all over the place. And, of course, there are states in the United States that are still anti-solar. Florida, the Sunshine State, is anti-solar. They keep passing laws trying to restrict solar energy. At one point, they said that you couldn't connect to the grid unless you paid this huge amount. That got challenged in court, and the solar people won. They said that you couldn't have your own solar power, your own power in your home, and so they're that didn't work either. And they were kind of forcing people to saying, "Well, you have to pay your bill even if you don't have one."
What?
And it was so bizarre. And it's, but hey, we won it.
One of the things that local towns here can do over on your side of the Hudson is get involved with the Scenic Hudson and Clearwater Project, where they're helping towns look at the facilities that will work best for solar in their community. Mm. So that rather than just, you know, some big company coming in and saying, hey, well, we want to do this, the town can decide this is the best place for solar here and really maximize the benefits.
Yeah, and Sustainable CUNY has a solar map that you can go on their website and look at, and you can put in your address if you live in New York, and it'll tell you how much solar energy you can get per day, per year, how much carbon you'll save. And it's something that installers, of course, use to see, mm-hmm. So-and-so called me up, look up their address. Oh, great place for solar. Or there's too much shading from another building or whatever. And the solar map, it started just New York City, then it expanded to the state, and now other states are doing the solar map as well. There's so much information that is available. And
yeah, my mom and I get a lot of calls for solar companies looking to put a solar panel on our roof, and we kind of like it, but we have a lot of trees. So I'll generally tell them, you know, check it out. We've got too many trees. And they'll look on Google Maps and they'll see our house and go, okay, bye.
Hopefully
we can get community solar someday so we can participate too.
If I was a homeowner, I would have a lot of trees, absolutely. And if I would think of solar, go, oh, no. What a terrible choice I have to make. I would probably keep the trees also. Birds.
And Sally's comment about community solar, we shouldn't just pass over that lightly. We should do an entire show or just on community solar and how it has been implemented in some way where places and how it can be implemented.
Yeah. Actually, New Jersey does have some community solar. At this point, you have to pay two bills, one to the community project and one to your utility company, which can be confusing, especially for older folks. So they've got things to work out, but at least they're making, you know, some start on it.
Community Board 6 in Brooklyn has a couple community solar projects. One of them, one of the installers, was Richard Klein, who is on the Solar in the City panel. And, you know, I'm just happy to hear, oh, great, he's still out there, still putting up solar. And when I heard about it, I'm like, oh, Richard, is this the same one on whatever the street was that I knew at the time? And he goes, no, we're on a different block. Same community board, and the two projects didn't know about each other.
Oh, no. Well, that's why they need Ecologic to help make the connections. A lot of times on our shows, we've had people in the studio who networked and stayed networked together on and on. So we are a valuable resource for experts as well as listeners.
Oh, I love seeing that when you know, I have a panel of guests in the studio, and then afterwards they're like exchanging email, exchanging phone number, and you know, it's really cool.
Man.
Well, it's time to wrap up.
Already?
This is the second hour. We're so glad that you could join us for the second hour. Joining us this morning, we are glad to have you with us for Ecologic at 6 and 7 a.m., live or on the archives. For more information, go to our website, ecoradio.org. That's www.ecoradio.org.
We love to stay in touch with you. So those of you online, please go to www.ecoradio.org and sign up for our email list. Those of you on Facebook, please like our page. Enter eco-logic.
Our website has information on a variety of environmental topics. So go to www.ecoradio.org.
We'll be guests on the WBAI Local Station Board Outreach and Fundraising Meeting this Monday, February 13th at 7 p.m., so if you have feedback for us or you just want to hear what's happening with WBAI Outreach and Fundraising, we invite you to join the Zoom meeting. The registration link will be on our website, ecoradio.org. Right now, you can click on BAI website and try to find it under meetings. Ecologic and WBAI continue to offer you environmental news, information, and entertainment. Ecologic at 6 a.m. includes more music and listener calls. Our listener-supported radio station needs you.
To support Ecologic and have it be a win-win, you can choose from our many premiums. Most can be found on ecologic.wbai.org and on give2wbai.org. To become a member or contribute monthly as an Ecologic BAI buddy, that's what we really want, folks. That'd be great. Call 212-209-2950. We love to see those Ecologic BAI buddies pledges. Most of the BAI staff, including us, are volunteers. Funding is still needed for everything else that makes a broadcast happen. The engineers, electricity, equipment upkeep. Pledging now during this show really helps Ecologic especially.
I have really enjoyed reliving one of my favorite success stories, getting commercial net metering in New York State. It literally created thousands of jobs and saved tons of fossil fuels from being burnt. I'm so glad Pamela Timmons recorded it, and it's available for you guys.
Our thanks to our engineer today, Sean Rhodes. We couldn't do this without you.
Oh, we really taxed him today.
Yeah.
I'm Ken Gale.
I'm Sally Gellert.
And I'm Donna Stein. Coming up next is the great and wonderful David Rothenberg. We hope you'll get the Solar in the City premium as well as the theater tickets he'll have for you. Join us again next week for Ecologic at 6 a.m. on Saturday, February 18th.
See the sun, how bright it shines on the nations of the earth. All who share this thing called life celebrate each day's rebirth.
Solar.
expansive energy. So
good morning. You're tuned to 99.5 FM, WBAI in New York. This special two-hour edition of Ecologic came to you live over listener-sponsored, non-commercial Pacifica Radio, WBAI in New York. Coming up at 8 o'clock is Any Saturday with David Rothenberg. So please, stay tuned.
Hi, this is Julian Gioiello, and I'm a listener and supporter of WBAI. I'm a student at NYU, and I live in New York City. And I want to shout out to the other young listeners of WBAI. We have to help keep the station going, and the easiest way to do it is through the WBAI Buddy System. If you donate as little as $10 a month, you have proactively promoted free speech radio. Go to the website WBAI.org, click the donate button, and make a difference.
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
This is Mike Sargent with This Day in Racial Injustice. On this day, February 11th, back in 1826, a white North Carolina man offered a $20 reward to capture an enslaved black man. A newspaper headline at the time read, "White North Carolina man offers reward for capture of enslaved black man who, quote, escaped to visit his wife." Alfred Moore wrote in a reward poster that the black man was probably lurking in Pasquotank County, where his wife was enslaved. Moore offered the reward to any white person who captured the man and returned him or secured him in the jail so that Moore could go get him. The historical record doesn't reveal whether this black man, identified as only Joe in the reward poster, was ever captured or returned to Moore, reunited with his wife, or able to reach freedom. People who were enslaved frequently suffered extreme physical violence as punishment or as a warning against running away, visiting a spouse, or trying to prevent the sale of their relatives. Joe was one of countless black people enslaved in the U.S. who dared to love and to seek freedom before the end of the Civil War. For years after chattel slavery ended in the 1865 passage of the 13th Amendment, black people placed ads in church bulletins and local newspapers throughout the country, looking for their loved ones and friends. This has been This Day, February.